So, Brian, where does the story begin?
It starts with this 30-something-year-old guy named Jeremy Levine, who was in Lake Tahoe on a skiing trip on a Sunday in January. He's getting ready to leave his Airbnb to hit the slopes, and he checks his phone because he's been watching for something and waiting for something. And there it is, what he's been waiting for days. He's so excited that his fingers are shaking as he transfers over $100,000 to buy a 13-second video clip of Zion Williamson blocking a shot.
And what about that block? Zion from the weak side. Hey. That'll get them up on their feet.
Hey, can somebody from the 15th row throw that ball back on the court, please? We gotta keep the game going.
He sees the price, and he doesn't even think about the price because he's convinced that this thing is going to triple, quadruple, 5 times, 10 times within a year. And he never made it skiing because his friends were so excited when he told them that he made the purchase that they couldn't do anything but talk about it for the next 12 hours.
If you're my age, you once dreamed of holding a Shaquille O'Neal rookie card that would one day be worth millions. At which point you'd celebrate by Scrooge McDucking into a pool of gold coins. But in 2021, sports collectors are chasing completely digital pieces of memorabilia. And your fortune now isn't backstrokeable, isn't tangible either. It's probably Bitcoin. Today, Brian Windhorst is our guide to the brave new world of crypto collectibles. So brace yourself, because the present is an even stranger future than you thought. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, February 18th. This is ESPN Daily. Brian, a lot of weird things have happened in 2021. Did you ever foresee yourself reporting on the world of crypto collectibles?
I did not. But to be honest with you, Pablo, the more I learned about it, the more interested I was in it.
Brian Windhorst is the host of the Hoop Collective podcast and a senior NBA writer for ESPN. His article on the NBA's new digital memorabilia venture, NBA Top Shot, is available now on ESPN Plus.
Not because I was interested in buying any. I'm not going to endorse it from a financial standpoint, but I am fascinated by it, and I am fascinated by the excitement around it. And the more people I talked to, the more I understood why that excitement existed.
If you are familiar with sports, Brian, you know what a trading card is. You get intuitively that whole business, that whole marketplace. But what I want to talk to you and need to talk to you about today is this new commodity in the world of collectibles that is radically changing the very definition of what sports memorabilia is. And it is combining two things that the internet really loves more than just about anything lately, which is Bitcoin-style blockchain technology and NBA highlights. So tell us, Brian, what is NBA Top Shot?
It's a marketplace that was created by this Canadian company called Dapper Labs. Under license from the NBA and the Players Association, they are in business with them, selling their likeness of their players and their products. And collectors buy, sell, and trade highlight clips for tens of dollars, for hundreds of dollars, for tens of thousands of dollars. It is a digital collectible. Digital meaning not tangible, doesn't physically exist, exists only on the internet. And they are video clips of varying lengths, but most of them pretty short, of NBA players doing things. Passing the ball for assists, blocking shots, dunking, doing anything it is that NBA players do. And they're packaged into these pieces of memorabilia that are called moments. When you buy one, you can watch these moments, or you can store them in a digital wallet, which is where you keep your digital memorabilia. It is the 2021 version of what you and I collected, sports cards, as kids.
So there is a digital marketplace around these individual video clips. Can you explain to me, Brian, in layman's terms, how this digital marketplace works, how the blockchain aspect, how the crypto aspect enters into it.
Blockchain is, to put it in very simple terms, which is all I understand of it, it's like an online ledger. It's like an official record keeper for certain things on the internet. Probably the most famous thing that is on the blockchain is Bitcoin. And so every single Bitcoin can be accounted for on the blockchain. And the reason that this is interesting to sports card collectors is because if you have a rookie card, like when you and I were kids and we got a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card and we were holding it in our hands, and it, you know, I collected Topps as a kid. I should have collected others because they're more valuable, but I was a Topps man.
I was an Upper Deck guy myself.
You probably did better. and down in the corner of the Topps card was the little gold trophy that signified that this was the rookie card. And you would hold it and you'd put it in your plastic sleeve and you'd say, boy, that card is worth $17 according to my little monthly Beckett book.
Yes.
And maybe in 2 years it'll be worth $26 or $39 or $100. But we didn't know how many of those existed. And what ended up happening was when online marketplaces came around, like eBay, all of a sudden, people who had these cards that they thought were rare, they went on there and they saw, oh, there's 17,000 of them for sale. You know, it's not actually rare because I didn't know how many were printed. And so the concept of this Top Shot is that because it's on the blockchain, if they say that there's only been 50 or 250 or in some cases one of these moments created, you know that there is only one of one, even though it doesn't tangibly exist in physical form. In 2021, the scarcity is in a lot of ways more valuable than something being tangible.
So, Brian, what are some of the benefits of moving from this physical memorabilia market, as we know it, to something that is entirely digital? Are there drawbacks to having physical, tangible trading cards?
If you, even if you did have a rare card, for you to really sell it, you had to get somebody to authenticate it. So there would be these third-party companies, the largest of which is known as PSA, and you would pay them a fee and you would send your card off in the mail or by FedEx, and you'd have to hope that it got there. And then you'd have to hope that the person evaluating it, who is a professional and objective but may see it differently, would grade your card out where you wanted it. Because the difference between getting a card graded an 8 or a 10 on the scale of 1 to 10 of the value could dramatically affect the difference. And then it had to be shipped back to you safely. And then if you wanted to sell it, there was the whole process of that again. And there was worries about fraud, if the person was selling you something that was legit or if it was a mock-up. Those were all the headaches. So while it is, I think, difficult for people who are of a certain age to understand purchasing a piece of memorabilia that doesn't physically exist, when you buy and sell on Top Shot, the transfer happens instantaneously. Mm. And you also know every single sale that's happened of every single moment. So you have a much better judge on the market. When you look at the friction that exists in trading physical assets, you can understand why people feel like this is where the market might be headed.
So anytime, Brian, you tell a person who's really into cryptocurrency that it seems strange that they're investing in something that does not physically exist, the response comes back, and I think there's validity here, that, well, when you think about it, like pretty much anything we consider valuable, it relies on a collective fiction. Paper money, gold, silver, there is nothing really intrinsic about that, but we have all agreed that it is worth something. And here, it does seem like a lot of people have decided that these videos are worth more than just something. So if you wanted to buy an NBA Top Shot, these virtual video clips that are attached to serial numbers to validate your personal ownership, what does that process look like?
There's several different ways. The most basic way anybody would collect a trading card would be you'd go to the drugstore, there'd be a pack, you'd buy it, and you'd open it, and you'd have no idea what cards were in there. There may be rookie cards in there, there may be bullpen relievers who had a cup of coffee. You can do that with Top Shot. I think $9 is the lowest amount you can pay. And you can get, you know, everybody from LeBron James having a moment in there to Nemanja Bjelica. Because this is for the whole league. And then there's limited collections that Top Shot has made available that cost multiples of that, hundreds of dollars, where there may only be 25 or 50 or 200 of a certain thing. And those are very hard to get, much like the market for chasing limited releases of sneakers. You have to get in at the exact right time and hope your mouse click goes through. And right. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of people trying to get 25 or 50. And those tend to have more value.
You're describing this economy that is rapidly growing on top of this concept. And I just want to be super clear about what exactly you're getting in exchange for your money here. Because I think a skeptic, a cynic is listening to you and hearing about NBA Top Shot. And they're saying to themselves, wait a minute, this dunk from Zion that I would have to pay six figures to get on NBA Top Shot, I can also just watch that on YouTube for free.
That's right.
Right? Like, I could watch it on my TV, I could watch it on my phone, I can get it as an animated GIF, all for the grand total of $0.00. So the value here, the proposition here for those customers is what?
I think it's the same as a sports card. You know, Mark Cuban, who's a big believer in this, talked about this as well. You know, when you have a sports card, you can go onto the internet and you can look at a picture of the card, and you could even print it out and put it on your wall and say, there's the picture. I can enjoy the picture the same way, but it won't be viewed as having value because it's not that piece of cardboard. And, you know, you're right. It is kind of a silly concept that a piece of printer paper over here that I printed out off my computer has no value. And this piece of cardboard in my other hand that has been rated by the agency is worth $5 million. It is kind of ridiculous, but it's no more ridiculous in concept than printing out a $100 bill on your computer versus a piece of currency. It's
which ESPN Daily does not recommend that anybody out there does for fun or for profit.
Right. So it's, again, it's all sort of a psychic value. Why is a Picasso worth this and a painting by a starving artist over here worth that? It's because they're viewed differently. The thing about Top Shot is that on the blockchain, you can track it. There's been $78.5 million in transactions involving NBA Top Shot.
Wow.
With over 66,000 users. So I'm just saying that this is definitely a thing that's going on and that more and more people are starting. When I started doing this story about 2.5 weeks ago, that number was closer to 50 million and about 40,000 users. Mm. So just in the 2 weeks that I've been working on it, it's increased by 50% in transactions. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not advocating anybody to invest in it, but I certainly recognize it's a thing that's trending.
Coming up, is NBA Top Shot a rocket ship going to the moon? Or is it just a Beanie Babies bubble waiting to burst?
Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Brian, as this strange new world of crypto collectibles and NBA Top Shot is sort of rocketing to the moon, as they say online, what is the NBA's perspective on this? Why are they now suddenly very hungry to be in this particular business?
Well, the NBA licenses their name out to all kinds of products. There's the official deodorant of the NBA. There's the official paint of the NBA. There's the official rock salt of the NBA. I don't actually know that, but it would be a good idea this time of year.
It is.
And those are sort of commonplace deals that have existed for decades. But the NBA recognized about 3 years ago that blockchain was an emerging market that they needed to get involved in. And who knows how far this bucket goes? There's a possibility that exists that someday the NBA itself may have its own currency, that you would buy tickets with this currency, popcorn and beer at the arena with this currency, wager on the game in this currency, and maybe buy NBA Top Shots in this currency. And so they began looking at it about 3 years ago. And, you know, in talking to some executives at the NBA, they spent a long time trying to decide who to go into business with here. Because not only was it a new business, digital memorabilia, but it was this is the first wholly blockchain deal that the NBA has done. And how this works out and how it takes root will in some ways frame the future. And so the Players Association, because the players themselves are involved and their names and likenesses are involved, the Players Association also was sitting at the table and did the deal, and they also receive money from this.
So, Brian, I got to say, I'm still reeling from the future you described where there is NBA currency, where there is like an NBA banknote. Do we know who's on the NBA banknote? Like, who's on the 20 in NBA bucks?
The Stern. This beer will cost you 13 Sterns. this is kind of where, you know, the league could see itself going. The NBA has been a little progressive when it comes to looking at new things. Like, the NBA was first out of the gates really on gambling, trying to encourage that. And they want to be first out of the gates on this.
So the world where we're making it rain with Sterns is absolutely enticing to me. It also, though, has this whiff, Brian, as all crypto discussions have, of volatility, of extreme volatility. How volatile is NBA Top Shot as a marketplace? Because when you talk about this stuff, the fear, of course, is that, yeah, all of this could just collapse.
Well, you were a child of the 90s, or give or take the 90s.
Yes.
You may remember a little thing called Beanie Babies.
Oh, Brian, I have in my mom's basement so many Beanie Babies.
Right. And in 1998, some of those Beanie Babies might have had real value. And actually, some of them still do. You could probably still sell certain ones for lots of money.
I've looked. I don't have those, unfortunately.
Right. So that's the worry when it comes to something like Top Shot. So Dapper Labs, the company that created Top Shot, their first foray into digital collectibles was something called Crypto Kitties.
I need you to explain, Brian, for those who are uninitiated, and I hope you are not initiated because it's amazing. What is a Crypto Kitty?
Well, I don't even 100% understand it myself, but it was a thing back in like 2017, and it was basically pictures of cats, digital representations of cats, and you would collect them. And if I understand it correctly, you could create new cats by having them breed. You would have one cat come with another cat, and their features would combine, and you would create a new cat, kind of like how Bitcoins are created. And then that new creation would have value in itself. And for a while, this was an incredibly hot, exciting topic. I think it was especially popular in Asia. It transacted on a crypto platform called Ethereum. And there was so many transactions, buying and selling and creating these kitties in 2018 that it slowed the entire trading platform down. Like, it basically broke the servers.
Wait. So hold on. So Ethereum, this big name crypto blockchain technology, it's slowed down by all of these kitties. How much are these kitties going for?
The highest sold one ever was for $170,000. And I looked at a picture of this kitty, and it didn't look that remarkable to me.
I'm looking at it right now, Brian. I just am Googling this right now. Dude, I mean, it's the equivalent of like a little sticker you might have put on your Trapper Keeper if you were also a child of the 90s. Like, these are little drawings of kitties.
Right. And the market crashed for it. And now, if you were to look at the same ledger that tracks the cryptocurrency, if I just knock it down to the last 30 days, NBA Top Shot has transacted $71 million in deals. Mm. CryptoKitties has transacted $439,000 in total. So there are still CryptoKitties being traded. I wouldn't say that the market is dead, but they're not being sold for those valuations anymore. Like Beanie Babies, it was a hot fad that died out, you know, within a year or so. And so that is a concern for these Top Shots. Now, I've asked this question. So I say to the collectors who I talked to, the people who track the market, I say to the NBA, you know, what do you say to your fans who may be investing in this and potentially could be hurt? If you bought GameStop at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And the answer is that the NBA is a global brand. That has an incredibly huge archive of content that could be sold. Like, there's so many more horizons, and that CryptoKitties was something that was just created. And not only that, but the fact that it's backed by a global brand may make it have staying power, just like trading cards have had staying power. But I don't know. And, you know, for decades, the NBA has licensed memorabilia. Some of it has been very popular and has gone away, and some of their fans have invested either in cards or shoes or posters or bobbleheads that had value and disappeared. And so there is a risk in it. But the NBA told me that they see this as a long-term partnership. Whether or not they are right, we'll have to see.
So instead of manufacturing their own equivalent to CryptoKitties, the NBA is taking, and this is where it gets kind of brilliant, Brian, and super ambitious, but they're basically saying, we have all of this video from our games. We have a vault that stretches back decades and decades and decades more into the future. And they're saying, we have all this stuff. What we're going to do is simply slice and dice it and sell people on the record ownership stakes. Right now, these are plays like dunks and so forth. But theoretically, Brian, like, they could do anything with video.
Yeah.
Fan moments or whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, the NBA's archive of content is humongous. They could sell bench celebrations. They could sell player arrivals when they come in whatever clothes that they're wearing. I mean, think of the highlight package you could put together just from Russell Westbrook from the last years. The Russell Westbrook collection.
You're telling me I could bid on not just like fashion runway entrances, but on LeBron yelling at J.R. Smith?
You can't bid on it yet, but there is a possibility that those could be existed. All of that is within this enormous pile of intellectual property that the NBA has. And it's one of the reasons why the NBA really wanted to go down this path, because they said there is could be a huge value of this stockpile of stuff that we have that people are interested in investing in. And this is where the NBA and the Players Union are really excited about this. And really invested in this. Like with any collectible, there is a secondary market. Because this exists on the blockchain, Dapper Labs, which is the company that makes these, controls the secondary market. So if somebody else got the LeBron moment that you wanted in their pack, they can put it on the secondary market and they can sell it for tens, if not, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's the difference. Because it's on that market that's controlled, they can charge a fee that goes along with it, and the NBA and the Players Union and the company Dapper Labs can collect part of that sale. So for the first time ever, the NBA can act as the Picasso and the Sotheby's in these trades.
So, Brian, I want to circle back to where we started this show, which is with this guy, Jeremy Levine, and that Zion block that he bought for $100,000. What is he hoping to get from his purchase?
Well, when you talk to him about it, he sounds very Silicon Valley. He says, this thing could go 10x, 100x, or zero. He's a big believer in it. When he bought that block shot, it was actually the fourth different time he had set a new record in highest purchase value. He continued to push it. So he's obviously got capital, and he's a believer in investing in things. And he recognizes that it could collapse and go to zero, but he doesn't think it'll be the case. He made his money in being one of the early adopters into daily fantasy sports about a decade ago. He hit on that and was able to create some daily fantasy companies that were sold. So his mentality is to sort of look for the next big thing in sports. And he believes that this is it, but he can also afford to be wrong. Not everybody can. And I think that's one of the things that you have to be careful of. But the people from Top Shot would say, you can buy a $9 pack. You don't have to spend $100,000.
So, Brian, full disclosure here. I started an NBA Top Shots account. I have spent $0 on it. I'm doing it out of journalistic curiosity, is what I'm telling my wife, who is terrified when I try to summarize what you just expertly summarized for us on today's show. What should I be looking at, man? What do you recommend as my advisor?
So, limited series, but the problem is that everybody's going after that now. Get one of those that are one out of 50, one out of 250, not one of those that are one out of 25,000. Those seem to be the ones that have it. But again, you can also buy packs for $9 where if you get lucky, one of those moments that are super valuable could come out of those packs. But, you know, you have to buy a lot of packs. And even those packs are all selling out very quickly. So there are some people who would tell you, Pablo, that you're already too late.
So I can't buy my rare Ben Simmons three-pointer, Brian. The price on that is probably already left my orbit. It sounds like I need to go talk to my wife about CryptoKitties.
You can pick them up on the cheap right now, I think.
Brian Windhorst, thank you for explaining all of this on ESPN Daily.
I don't know if I explained that much. That's how crazy this is, but thanks for having me.
Up next, a sneak peek at a story that we are really excited to bring to you tomorrow.
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you people wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first one or for your fashionista mom who likes to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate with them both. You can shop by price anywhere from $25 and under to, say, $100 and below. You can also sort by category, like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Or even pre-wrapped gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So, what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Here's another story you'll be hearing tomorrow on ESPN Daily. We're almost a full year into the COVID-19 pandemic, which somehow feels a lot longer and also a lot shorter than it's been. So we've been doing a lot of reflecting back on those early days of shutdowns and grocery disinfecting and how the worldwide pause on sports actually began. And one place in particular has stuck in our minds for 12 months now. Last February, the small Italian city of Bergamo was identified as a possible epicenter for the pandemic in Europe. And one thing you should know about the people of Bergamo is that they love their soccer team, called Atalanta. And I mean, they really love it. Like, these are the lyrics from their team chant.
Fabio was doing his best to translate quickly on the fly during our conversation, but when I looked into it a little more later, the end of it actually translates like this. I live to love you and will never betray you. And with my heart in my throat, I'll sing for you. And then they say,
Ale Atalanta, Ale Atalanta, Ale Atalanta.
That's a love story, a family story between club and city. One that led our Sam Borden to describe it all like this.
So for more than a century, Atalanta has been a part of Bergamo's fabric. And you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever met someone from Green Bay and heard them talk about the Packers? It's like that sort of attachment. Like if you give birth to a baby in Bergamo, the Atalanta team, they send you this tiny jersey and two bottles of formula. It's like, imagine, Pablo, like the piazza in Bergamo and strollers going this way and that, and every baby there is wearing a blue and black Atalanta jersey.
1 year ago tomorrow, on February 19th, 2020, Atalanta was playing its first ever knockout round in the big-time Champions League, and the game was played in a packed stadium with fans all crammed in like sardines, cheering, expectorating, as people all over Bergamo watched in bars and restaurants and at parties, basically doing the same. After that game, all those people went back home and, you know, they spent time with their actual families. But what the people of Bergamo did not know is that the coronavirus was already among them.
You know, people from Italy look at us like bad people. You know, like the people that go around to spread the sickness, but we didn't know.
ESPN's global sports correspondent, Sam Borden, talked to Italian fans, officials, and experts to try to understand if this extraordinary celebration of their beloved team, Atalanta, was really behind the pandemic crisis that followed. That's on tomorrow's show. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you then.